I would like you to have your Bibles ready with Ephesians chapter 1, because I warned you about that last time I was here. Because you will remember that we have been studying for the last 3 to 4 years without me even really being aware of it in many respects. We've been studying about so many safe places to go. When I brought the pottery wheel up onto the platform, you know, it was a place that God, through Jeremiah, had said, let's go down to the potter's house and find out about the ways of the Lord. It's a very safe place to be in God's hands. That's the main lesson we learnt from that particular metaphor of safety. And it mentions something absolutely amazing in that potter's section. It says, and the pot was marred in the hands of the potter. Not too many people recognize or even notice that. But you and I, when we are in his care, are never left to drop right out of his care. When we go our own way, we do our own stupid things, God does not let you go. The unpardonable sin, as we studied last week in our Sabbath school lesson, is when we don't even want to have safety in the Beloved and in God. We don't want to have interference being played against our sinful tendencies. I can assure you that the boats and brides which I referred to you about too in a previous sermon. Every boat in Scripture is a metaphor of the church. Arcs of safety, they all are. Every boat in Scripture. And I told you the story about Paul's trip back to Rome. Even that shipwrecked boat. And the church, you remember, will break up at the end of time, and people will. You read that story, it tells you how it's actually a metaphor of what happens just before Christ's return. An amazing story. Brides, of course, these are relationships. And I might mention to you that next time, I promise you that I'm going to extend the places of safety metaphor, metaphors that are right throughout Scripture. You don't understand the Scripture aright unless you see those places of safety. Legion they are. They're everywhere in Scripture. You don't see them unless you see them as ultimately being places of great intimacy as a bride adorned for her husband, as our betrothed who is coming back, who is preparing us a place right now, a very safe place. And he's coming back to take us to that place. You might recall the Little Red Heifer sanctuary service, the alternative, not really alternative, but the parallel sanctuary system that was very rarely instituted, set up by God in Numbers 19. And we went over that. We had two sermons on the Little Red Heifer. Great places of safety. This particular sacrifice represents very closely exactly what Jesus did outside the gates of Jerusalem, which was the designated place of safety, and we know the New Jerusalem will be the ultimate place of safety. But the designated place of safety, Jerusalem, God's people rejected that as the location, and God chose a little hill in a grove up outside Jerusalem the same place that the little red heifer was to be sacrificed and did get sacrificed. Once by Moses, and another time during Nehemiah's time, and Ezra's time, and a few other times throughout history. And I warned you that today, and even on Wednesday night, I was looking at SBS, and there was a series based upon the Jewish nation trying to find the little red heifer and all of that stuff, and it's to signal the rebuilding of Jerusalem, the old temple site, and that they'll be using this as a reason to blow up the present building that's on that sacred site, according to them. All of that's nonsense. Jesus is the little red heifer. He was the one even his hooves had to be red. Why? Because he trod the winepress alone. He had no hairs which were crooked. Why? Because no yoke was ever placed upon him. Because he was being prepared to carry the yoke of sin on your and my behalf. The six cities of refuge which we looked at were also wonderful examples. Each meaning of each six city describes part of the character of Jesus and what his role and function is. You know, strong shoulder, just one of them. A mighty fortress, another one. Can you remember some of the others? Sing out if you wish. That's fine. And today, it brings me to what all of these other tabernacles, all of these other sanctuaries, all of these places of refuge, all of these other safe places represent, including this house of prayer today. They all represent Jesus, our Lord, and what he has done for us. Let's have a look at Ephesians chapter 1. And I want you to count, and I hope and pray that you will, in fact, understand the simple phrase of what in Christ, in him, through him, by him. And there's a whole lot of other ways of saying exactly the same thing in Scripture. I would hope and pray that you will be able to see and modify in your minds what it is that Christ has actually done, the significance of what he has done on our behalf. And just before we get into the... No, let's read Ephesians chapter 1 first. Then I will play an item which looks at something to do with being in Jesus, and it highlights that. And I would hope and pray that at the end of today's service you will have a much deeper understanding of what it means to be in Christ, rather than the glib statement, I had planned to say this, and it's in the service. I have heard people, since I was a little child, in churches all over, saying, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And to me, it's quite easy to say that. But I'm wanting to make it clear that before one can even whisper that hope, that we need to be in Christ first. And so what I want you to do is to read together with me Ephesians chapter 1. And we will emphasize, we can read it aloud together, we can emphasize every time the word in is used. Some of you who, and I don't see any little tackers around here, I'd say, see how many times in this one chapter the word in is used. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints who are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places, in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's going to be the theme of our next service. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. It's getting a bit tiresome, isn't it? This in business. But it is there for a reason. We are to be left in no doubt. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. May the Lord add his blessing to his words, and may they be amplified by the service today. 27. Praise God. Nearly 28, 3 sevens. 4 sevens, 28. Yeah, my math was wrong. You see, I'm not a mathematician. I rely upon the mathematician who justifies all things in his books of account. Let's listen to a song and just ponder once again maybe your need to understand a little bit more clearly what being in Jesus is all about. From a number of viewpoints, the Scriptures tell us who we are in Christ. That's their purpose. And what God is actually doing for us and in us. The first chapter of Ephesians is just one divinely inspired New Testament source that outlines what sanctuary in Jesus actually is. Some have counted the number of times. It is totally inconceivable to me that just a little word having huge meaning appears so often in this one chapter. Many years ago, my preacher father gave me some good advice. And we were talking about spiritual things, because they are the only important things in life, really, when it's all said and done. I went into teaching people how to paint, and that was only an excuse for trying to be a painter of my Lord's character. I wasn't always successful, I can assure you. My father said to me, as we're having this little discussion about spiritual matters, he said to me, "Always make up your mind, son, based upon the weight of evidence." So, today, we have read some weighty matters, not all of those matters that Paul talked about, and I have in front of me that particular chapter and the allusions to so many other places in Scripture, in his own writings, where, and I'll go through some of them. Oh, there was Peter, 1 Peter 1 verse 2, Luke 1, 75, Acts 13, 48, Romans 8, 29, John 1, 12, 1 Corinthians 1, 21, Romans 3, 20, Matthew 3, 17, and it goes on, only up to verse 7. And what he was saying here in this chapter of the Ephesians brought together so much in not only his own writings, but in the writings of others, particularly in the New Testament. Surely the evidence points to the fact that he can only be in us if and when we are in him. I think that bears repeating. The evidence points to the fact that he can only be in us if and when we are in him. By way of illustration, not that long back, I was invited to visit a cousin of mine who lives with his wife on a sailing boat, just moored, just offshore on Lake Macquarie, up in New South Wales. After making our way out to his rather impressive sailing vessel, and after climbing aboard what he and his wife called home, and after then making ourselves comfortable amidships, he asked me what I had been doing. What I had been doing since we last met. I told him that over the last few years, God had impressed me to explore a wide variety of sanctuary systems revealed in his word. You know, the ones I've been preaching to you here in this church about, with boats and brides, the church, red heifers, cities of refuge, and so on. But then, somewhat out of the blue, I made the following comment that went like this. "You know, mate, as I right now, sitting with you in this boat, my mind keeps hearing a still small voice telling me something important. That it is much more important for me to be in Christ than to say, Christ in me, the hope of glory." After looking at me in a rather quizzical way, he said, "What's the difference, mate?" So began an explanation that has taken shape in my mind over more than 50 years. Throughout my childhood and young adulthood, I had heard many zealous believers in many churches throughout not only Australia but New Zealand loudly proclaiming Christ in you, the hope of glory. And what caused me to feel somewhat uncomfortable about that proclamation at the time was that those same dear people would go on to say that in order to please God, they were presently engaging in sinless, righteous behaviours. They had left sin behind. No longer, they hadn't sinned, some of them, for weeks, months, they said. They also said it was okay to think evil thoughts, for these kinds of things were just temptations, and as such did not count. Now don't get me wrong, brethren and sisters. I'm not saying these believers were bad people, for once upon a time my Christian journey was no different to theirs. However, by the ripe old age of 10 years of age, I had become completely disillusioned. Quite clearly, I was not making much progress on my bad temperedness and many other tendencies to evil that just would not go away. So it was over the last 50 years and more that I have personally found it much more helpful to view the way, my journey towards eternal life, as being by association with a person in tandem, in partnership with Jesus, in the loving arms of one who graciously invites me to come to him, to step into his arena, into any one of his many rescue vessels, to lean on his strong shoulder, to be captivated by his eternal love. In short, to know that his word for certain, from his word for certain, that he forgives all of my sins, and that sinfulness that so easily besets me is also dealt with. This, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is and has been bliss for me. I'm not trying to make excuses for sin. No, no. But I recognize that Jesus has made provision and he sees me through the blood of his Son. The real me, would you stand up? I can only stand if Christ stands in my place. Through the blood of his Son, my character is traced and stored for in heavenly places so that when Christ comes again, this mortal shall put on such an immortality that you would not hardly recognize me. You will. There will be aspects of all of us that will be in that heavenly home. But the treasure that is laid up for us in heaven is truly amazing. So I said to Ian something else. It's a bit like me and you sitting right here in this boat, mate, I said. It doesn't matter how much we might advertise our interest in boats. It doesn't matter how in love with boats we might think we are. And saying that boats are deeply embedded in our hearts and that we even own that lovely big boat just lying offshore, all of that's completely futile. For that boat that you can see just over there, that object is not in our blood or our greatest passion. You know what the proof of that is? It's not until we turn our backs on the land and clamber aboard. And so I said to Ian, I can see, Ian, that the boat is in you because you are in the boat. And both of us luxuriating in the presence of Christ was the proof. Similarly, every Salvation Enterprise vessel that Jesus provides is infinitely bigger than you and I. If we think that we are capable of accommodating Christ, Jesus our Lord, able to use him for our own benefit, we are hugely mistaken. It is the Lord who accommodates us. Empowerment comes only while we remain in him. He has gone and he comes by his Spirit daily. Gone to prepare, and he comes by his Spirit to us daily to prepare a place for us. And we would be totally wise to remember that that place is very much bigger than you and I. Bit of simple set theory in the primary department. Draw a circle for God. Draw a circle for you. So many times we like to draw a circle of ourselves and we put Christ in us. And to fit inside us, it has to be smaller. But if we are in him, guess what? He's also in us. Isn't that amazing? If we think that we can accommodate God ourselves, just think again, my dear brothers and sisters. To know what it means to be in Christ, you know, is an ongoing journey for us all. Don't think that this will be the last time you'll consider this question. Searching the Scriptures diligently to find vital clues is the best advice I can give you. And so now I will read to you just a few to conclude the service today, because this is the service. Romans 8:39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Romans 12:5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:19. To wit, that means take note, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, but hath committed unto us the good word of reconciliation. Galatians 3:26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Second chapter of Ephesians, another reference, verse 6. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. That's where our treasure is. That's which defines you and me. The judgment of God. Jesus took the rap for you and me. Ephesians 2 verse 10, another one. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, a slight difference. Instead of in Christ, let's find a few in him. John 1:4. In him was life, And the life was the light of men. Philippians 3 verse 9. Be found in him, not having thine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteous, which is of God by faith. John 3:15. That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. You see, it's so very important to understand what it means to be in Christ. It's not just a flippant thing at all. This is huge. This little word has huge import. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 6:56, he that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him. We were talking about this before, just in the lobby earlier. Acts 17:28. For in him we live and move and have our being. In him we live and move and have our being. Christians are a different species, in a sense, altogether. Being in Christ puts us apart from the animals of the world. In him we live and move and have our being. We don't live by the law of the jungle. We don't live by trying to beat other people into submission. We don't live that way. We live by the love that Jesus himself, the drawing power, the persuasive power of his word and his righteousness that is miraculously allowed to shine through us. Flash through humanity. Not just his humanity, but ours as well. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is getting exciting, is it not? 2 Corinthians 13:4. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he lives by the power of God, for we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward us. Powerful stuff. Colossians 2:6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Colossians 2:9. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. 2 Thessalonians 1:12. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a proviso. 1 John 2:5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And hereby is known that we are in him. 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abides in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. You don't get there by education. It's a special education. That's what I've always said about Christian education. Christian education is a misnomer in many respects. We set up a school, a place for people to come to school, and we call it a Christian school. But unless God himself is the head and the tail, the janitor, and everything to do with that school, unless he controls the recreation that is being held at that school, it's not a Christian school. 1 John 4:13. Hereby know that we shall hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. 1 John 4:15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God dwells in him and he in God. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him, and that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is eternal life. It's important to understand what it means to be in Christ. Very important. A couple that says being in the Lord. Ephesians 6 verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And Revelation 14, 13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yes, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labours, and their works will follow them. In whom? In whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto an holy temple in the Lord. Ephesians 2:22. In whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Ephesians 3:12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. His faith, you'll notice. Colossians 2:31. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. 1 Peter 1:8. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now not you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's a little bit convoluted, but I think we get the message. There are a whole lot more. By Christ, through Christ, maybe a couple of these. 2 Corinthians 3:4, and such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Galatians 4:7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace to, in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And I tell you, there, through Jesus, there's three quotes here. Through him, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. By whom? Romans 1:5. By whom we have received grace and apostleship. Romans 5:2. By whom also we have access by faith into his grace. Romans 5:11. And not only so, but we also have joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Three more there. And by himself, Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of his Father's glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. a whole series here of Christ. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. Romans 1:16. Romans 7:4, wherefore, my brethren, ye also have become dead to the law of the body of Christ, by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Should have reserved that for next time. The love that God wants us. The love relationship. Going steady with God is an important concept. And we'll explore that next time. Romans 8:9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Romans 8:9. Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. Whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. 2 John 1:9. Then there's a section here on of him. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I'll just pick one at random. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. 1 John 5:1. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loves him that begat loves him also, that is begotten of him. With Christ, there's a whole series of scriptures here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. With him, another one. We are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even we also should walk in newness of life. I think all of these words, in Christ, by him, through him, etc., all have the same. By me is another one here. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eats me, even he shall live by me. In him. Another one. 10, 15. In my love. Maybe we'll look at that one specifically next time. In my name. What? I'm still scrolling through. I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I do, and he will do even greater things than these, because I go to the Father, by implication, on our behalf. I can't believe, I'm still scrolling through here, pages and pages of material. A lot comes from Hebrews. I'm still scrolling through. I'm nearly done. Revelation 1:5-6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful and trustworthy witness, the firstborn of the dead, first to be brought back to life, and the prince or the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who ever loves us and has once and for all loosed and freed us from our sins by his own blood and formed us into a kingdom, a royal race, priests to his God and Father, to him be the glory and the power and the majesty and the dominion throughout the ages and forever and ever. Amen. I think, surely, after having such a long look, and my glasses are almost starting to fail, I think you will have to agree that our Lord has done a lot. Has he not? The emphasis is not on what you and I have done. It is on what he has done and should always be. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:3. There's a line or two in this hymn that challenges us to understand what it means to be in him. See if you can find it. Hymn 337, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It. The question is, why so happy in Jesus? We linger a little longer, Father, in your presence, and we have a tendency to wander. But we ask you to hold us close. That your drawing power, your love, will be so apparent that we will be changed as we look and live. Father, we have all wrestled with this question as to whether or not Christ in us, the hope of glory, is possible. And it is. But only after we have been safely bound, captivated, and held close to the heart of God. Thank you for sending Jesus, who revealed what a loving God is, one that we don't have to appease, one that we don't try, and we are advised not to try to do what we want him to do, but ask that we be made willing to be made willing to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.